Hello, this week's parasha is Parshas Kisavo. The parasha opens with the beautiful mitzvah of the bringing of the bikurim, the first fruits from the Shivat Haminim, that the landowner, the farmer, would bring up in a beautiful procession to the Beit HaMikdash, to offer to the Kohanim, the rich in their gold or silver baskets, the poor in their reed baskets. Extremely beautiful procession and process that is described and elucidated upon so beautifully in the Mishnah Bikurim. I actually want to focus on the very first Pasuk and an insight on the very first Rashi. So the Pasuk tells us in Kisavo, Perech Vav Pasuk Aleph, Vahaya, it will be Kisavo al ha'aretz asher Hashem elkecha nosi nechanacha, when you enter the land that Hashem or God gives you as an inheritance, via rishta, you take possession of it, via shafta, and you dwell in it. V'lakachta mireishis kol pri ha'adama, you should take from the first of the fruits of the ground, asher tavi mi'artzecha, asher Hashem elkecha nosinach, v'samta b'teni, you take these first fruits from the land, from the produce that God blesses you with, you put them in a basket, v'halachta ala makom asher yivcha Hashem elkecha, l'shakein shmo sham, and you go to the place where God has chosen to dwell his shechina there, you come to the kohen, it is in those days, and you say, I declare today that I came to this land that Hashem swore to our forefathers to give us, and the Kohen takes the basket from your hand, and he puts it before the Mizbech, and you lift up your voice, and you say, Arami Ovid Avi, Vayerid Mitzrayma, Vaygar Sham Bimseima, Vayusham the Goy Gado Atsum Vera, Vayereo Sano Mitsu Vayanunu, Vayitu Aleno Voda Kasha, Vanitsa, Kalasham Alkea Vesenu, Vayishmasham as Kolenu Vayarsani, Vasamalinu Vasachsenu, Vayatsena Sham Mitzrayma, Vyarchazaka Vasrana Tui, Vimara Gado Vasusum Mosim. These psukim should be very familiar. They're Perichav Vav in Devarim, psukim He through Ches. Why are they so familiar? They form the crux of the Haggadah Shal Pasach. They are referenced, they are Devarim 26, 5 through 8, if you would like to come up with translation. It goes through a whole declaration about how I went down to Egypt and God redeemed us. God brought us to this place. He gave us this land, Eretz Zavat, Chalav U'Dvash, a land flowing with milk and honey. And behold, I brought the first of the fruits from the ground that Hashem has given me. And you should rejoice in all the good that Hashem gives you. So it's a very, very beautiful idea with the Rashi's and the Mishnah Bikurim. It's a gorgeous passage and a beautiful mitzvah of Hakaras HaTov for the bounty and the produce of Eretz Yisrael. When are we obligated in Bikurim? So the first pasuk tells us, "V'hayo b'kisavo el ha'aretz asher Hashem elkecha nosa nechanacha." When you enter the land that Hashem your God gives you as an inheritance, v'yirishta, you take possession, v'yishafta, but you dwell in it. Oh, so Rashi says, and Rashi is quoting the Gemara in Kedushin, Lamed Zayin Amud Beis, Magid. This teaches you, "Shalom nischayv you b'bikurim ad shekavshu es ha'aretz v'chilkuha." They were not chayv; they were not obligated in the mitzvah of bringing the first fruits until they conquered the land of Canaan and divided the land. So it wasn't the minute they crossed the border with Yehoshua. No, first they had to conquer the land. There were the 7 years of conquering, 7 years of apportioning. Only once they conquered and apportioned the land, that is when they were chayiv in the mitzvah of Bikurim. I am quoting from the Sefer Shalom Rav, Volume 2, Insights on the Weekly Parsha by Rabbi Shalom Rosner. And he actually quotes the Lubavitcher Rebbe. The Lubavitcher Rebbe asks an Agada question with respect to the name of the parsha. The literal meaning of Kisavo is when you enter, when you come. At which point, according to the Torah, does entering occur? Again, this is a hashkafic, non-literal, non-pshat interpretation. What point, according to the Torah, does entering occur? Is coming or entering when one places his foot in the room? Or does it require one's entire body to be included in the room? When is it considered that you enter your home? When your foot's in the house, or when your whole body's in the house? A similar question can be asked about our nation and Eretz Yisrael, writes Rabbi Rosner. When is Am Yisrael considered to have entered into Eretz Yisrael? Is it as soon as the entire nation crossed the Yarden River and Sefer Yehoshua? Or is it when the land was divided up amongst the tribes? He quotes the Gemara and Chulin, and the Gemara states, partial entry is not considered entry. Partial entry is not considered entry. Similarly, Rashi teaches at the beginning of Parshas Kisavo, Magid shalon is chayvu b'bikurim at shekavshu asaretz v'chilkua. If the pasuk says v'haya kisavo el ha'aretz, it will be when you come to the land that Hashem gives you. What is considered coming or entering into the land? Is it when we first put our foot into the land, or when we are fully in the land? It seems from this Rashi, it means when we're fully in the land. Why? Just putting your foot in the land will be when we cross the border, the Yarden River with Yehoshua. But we were not chayv in Bikurim then. We're only chayv in Bikurim once we conquer the land and apportion the land. The lesson to be derived from this thought, teaches Rabbi Rosner, is that whenever we are involved in anything, we must be totally engrossed in it. If one is engaged in a mitzvah or an act of chesed, whether it's, I'm going to add, bein adam v'makom or bein adam v'chaveru, it should be performed wholeheartedly. In the modern world, people seek efficiency and often multitask. However, when performing a mitzvah, it is more important to totally immerse oneself and perform the act with total kavana, with the proper absolute concentration, with dedication and devotion. The principle of therefore ha'osek b'mitzvah pater min ha'mitzvah, one who is engaged in the performance of a mitzvah is excused from the performance of another mitzvah, teaches us each mitzvah requires total commitment and focus, even at the expense of another mitzvah. If you're doing a certain mitzvah, how come you're pater min ha'mitzvah? Because you can't concentrate on two mitzvahs at the same time. Whatever you're doing, you have to do it well. If you're doing an act of bikur cholim, you shouldn't be listening to shir in your earbud while you're visiting the sick. You can't do both. If you're doing bikur cholim, you're doing bikur cholim. If you're doing limud Torah, you're doing limud Torah. But whatever you're doing, you have to give it your full attention and your full concentration. Like Hillel Shara to Simchas Beis HaShoeva, Imani Kan HaKol Kan. When I am totally present, my entire self is here. But you must be totally present in order to be there. This is the lesson of Kisavo, writes Rabbi Rosner. We have to enter or immerse ourselves in every act we perform. If our mind is elsewhere, we are lacking something. When we perform a mitzvah, an act of chesed, we should take a moment to consider what is about to transpire. We should allow ourselves to enter the proper frame of mind and instill within ourselves the proper intent so we totally devote ourselves to the moment. So if we're davening, we're davening. We're not having a conversation with somebody else. We're not checking our phone. We're not reading the newspaper. We're not talking to the child behind me. If we're davening, we're davening. If we're doing Bikur Cholim, we're doing Bikur Cholim. If we're doing Limud Torah, we're doing Limud Torah. In today's modern day and age, we think we can multitask and be efficient at everything. The Torah says, Kisavo al arts, when you fully take possession of the land, that's when you're chayv and bikurim. What does fully take possession of the land? Not when your foot crosses the Arden River. When you're fully present, now you're chayv. This teaches us that a person must be fully present in order to fulfill the mitzvahs properly. Again, both bin adam chavir and bin adam makom. Chazal sought to assist us in this endeavor, continues Rabbi Rosner, by instituting the recitation of a Birkat HaMitzvah. Preceding the performance of mitzvah, we make a blessing. The Ritva offers a beautiful explanation for the purpose of Birkat HaMitzvah, so that one sanctifies himself before the performance of the mitzvah and clearly recognizes and discloses the mitzvah is about to be performed for God. A bracha prepares us for a mitzvah by sanctifying our performance. It also reminds ourselves and all those around us we're about to be involved in the performance of a mitzvah for Hashem. And when I'm involved in something in a mitzvah for Hashem, that's where I must totally be. Let us be all in and properly focused when engaging in each and every mitzvah. How do we learn this out? Kisavo al ha'aretz, says the Bava Chareba. When are you in? When your foot crossed or when you're totally in? The answer is when you're totally in. This teaches us in order to be present, we must be fully involved and fully engaged. And like Rabbi Rosner says, and I'm going to go and quote a different source before we conclude. Like Rabbi Rosner says, where is it? If one in the modern world, people seek efficiency and often multitask. When performing a mitzvah, however, it's more important to totally immerse oneself and perform the act with concentration, dedication, and devotion. So is it true that we seek efficiency and therefore efficiency can be found in multitasking? Is that actually scientifically, biologically correct? I quote from a small book called How to Break Up with Your Phone by Catherine Price. It's really a tremendous book that I highly recommend. I actually read about it in a Jewish publication first, and I ordered it based on that review. I ordered it on Amazon. It's not a Jewish book. How to Break Up with Your Phone, Catherine Price. That means the people of the Ummah Sha'olam have the same problems we do of being too attached to our phone. You're probably listening to me on your phone, but yes, sometimes we use it for good. The truth about multitasking, page 47 in this book. One of the most common defenses of phones is the idea that they're making us better at multitasking and therefore more efficient. Unfortunately, this is not true. There's actually no such thing as multitasking because our brains cannot do two cognitively demanding tasks at once. When we think we're multitasking, we're actually doing what researchers call task switching, like cars making sharp turns. Our brains need to slow down and switch gears every time we stop thinking about one thing and engage with another. A process that has been estimated to take 25 minutes every time you do it. And I'm not just talking about multitasking at work. I mean all the mini multitasking we engage in all day long. Glancing at Twitter while we're watching the TV. Looking at our email while we're on a phone call. Flipping quickly between apps as we wait in line to order lunch. You might think you're able to simultaneously listen to your friend and respond to the text, but you actually cannot. In fact, we're often shifting the focus of our attention so rapidly, we never give ourselves enough time to get in gear to begin with. When's the last time you spent 25 minutes just doing one thing? Not only is this making us unproductive, but it's also affecting our ability to think and problem solve. It is mentally exhausting. In 2009, Stanford researchers published a groundbreaking study in which they evaluated self-described heavy multitaskers' ability to perform a variety of tasks. So these people self-describe themselves as multitaskers, and we're going to evaluate their ability to perform a variety of tasks. The researchers hypothesized that while multitasking might be draining, perhaps over time it makes our brains better at something. They assumed the heavy multitaskers would be better than the control group at ignoring irrelevant information, switching efficiently between tasks, or organizing memory. The researchers were wrong. According to Clifford Nass, he wrote, "We were absolutely shocked. It turns out multitaskers are terrible at every aspect of multitasking. They're terrible at ignoring irrelevant information. They're terrible at keeping information in their head nicely and neatly and organized. They're terrible at switching from one task to another." Continued Nass, "One would think if people were bad at multitasking, they would stop. However, when we talk with the multitaskers, they seem to think they're great at it and seem totally unfazed and totally able to do more and more. Nass's conclusion, we worry that heavy multitasking may be creating people who are unable to think well and clearly." That itself is alarming, writes Catherine Price, especially when you consider that multitasking, or trying to, is exactly what our phones encourage us to do. Not to mention that Nass's research, which published only 2 years after the first generation iPhone was introduced, and it appears that by weakening our attention spans and our memories, our phones are damaging our ability to single task as well. Parshas Ki Savo, amongst the many beautiful things it teaches us right at the beginning, in the opening line, says the Baba Tzareb is Chusayan Agayin Aleinu. When are you considered having arrived? When are you considered present? Is it when your foot crosses the Jordan River or when you're fully there? The answer is when you're fully there. When you're fully there, that's when you're chayiv in the mitzvah. That's when you're able to perform the mitzvah. What a strong Mishra Haskel for all of us. Whatever we're doing, if we're talking to our children, we should be talking to our children. If we are davening and talking to the Ribbono Shel Olam, we should be talking to the Ribbono Shel Olam. If we're teaching a class, we should be teaching a class. And if we're a student in the class, we should be listening to the class. It's a challenge we all face in modern day and age with modern technology, but in order to fulfill the mitzvahs efficiently and properly, osik b'mitzvah, potter min ha-mitzvah. Thank you so much. I wish everybody a beautiful day. Kol tov, and be'ezrat Hashem, Shabbat Shalom.